Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Welcome to our Christmas Eve service. I'm standing too close to the other mic. Sorry. It's wonderful to see you all here this evening, and I hope that you will find this service to be meaningful and comforting and help to prepare you for the coming of Christ, which is what we're all here for. Before we get started, I want to ask for a couple of prayer requests. One is Ron and Sharon Carlin's son-in-law had a stroke day before yesterday. As of yesterday, when I talked to Sharon, he was not doing very well. They were going down to where Lisa lives, and So I haven't heard anything else, but let's please pray. His name is
Danny Thomas.
Danny Thomas. How could I forget that? His name is Danny Thomas. So please pray for Danny Thomas and for Lisa and Sharon and Ron and the whole family. And also, say it again.
Flossie Fraley,
a friend of Cheryl's. Who she was going to go down and spend Christmas Eve with this evening, and who is 3 weeks away from her 100th birthday, is in the hospital with pneumonia. So please pray for Frossie and for her family and for Cheryl and for everyone involved. Are there any other prayer requests while we're making them? Yes, Janet? Oh, goodness. I'm sorry, Janet. Please pray for Janet's Uncle Bill's family and for Jana as well. Any other prayer requests? All right. So I invite the choir to come forward. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, the light of hope.
Those who live in darkness will have light shined upon them, light of peace.
Our hearts will leap when we see our Lord come, a leap of joy.
Our hearts will fill with light and warmth as they have a new command written on them, the command to love.
Tonight we light all of the candles. Friends, may the hope, peace, love, and joy be with us. Amen.
Splendor bright, not as
They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." And to the man he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our opening carol is number 20, "Watchmen Tell Us of the Night."
Thank you. Our second lesson, the people who walk in darkness receive the promise of the Messiah, is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Our second carol is O Come, Emmanuel, number 9.
Messiah will come from the root of Jesse to restore peace to creation. So Isaiah 11, 1 through 9. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hove of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of the Lord.
Our next scripture is from the book of Matthew. It's chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, and this is the genealogy of Jesus, and I'm reading from the Message. The family tree of Jesus Christ, David's son, Abraham's son. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had Judah and his brothers. Judah had Perez and Zerah. The mother was Tamar. Perez had Hezron. Hezron had Aram. Aram had Amminadab. Amminadab had Nahshon. Nahshon had Salmon. Salmon had Boaz. His mother was Rahab. Boaz had Obed. Ruth was the mother. Obed had Jesse. Jesse had David. And David became king. David had Solomon. Uriah's wife was the mother. Solomon had Rehoboam. Rehoboam had Abijah. Abijah had Asa. Asa had Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat had Joram. Joram had Uzziah. Uzziah had Jotham. Jotham had Ahaz. Ahaz had Hezekiah. Hezekiah had Manasseh. Manasseh had Amon. Amon had Josiah. Josiah and Jehoiachin. Jehoiachin were brothers. And then the people were taken into Babylonian exile. And when the Babylonian exile had ended, Jeconiah had Shealtiel. Shealtiel had Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel had Abiud. Abiud had Eliakim. Eliakim had Azor. Azor had Zadok. Zadok had Akim. Akim had Eliud. Eliud had Eleazar. Eleazar had Matthan. Matthan had Jacob. Jacob had Joseph, Mary's husband, the Mary who gave birth to Jesus, the Jesus who was called the Christ. There were 14 generations from Abraham to David, another 14 from David to the Babylonian exile, and yet another 14 from the Babylonian exile to Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. fifth lesson is Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, for I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Technology. Let me just say that I neglected to set out the candles, but they are here and we will be doing the candle lighting, and I have a way to get them to you, so please don't worry. And momentarily we will continue with the service.
Many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen silent prayer. I am frightened by the load I bear in a world as cold as stone. Must I walk this
Our sixth lesson is from the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. An angel comes to Joseph in a dream. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife and had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus.
My bones, still fatherless. where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? He looks so small, his face and hands so fair. And when he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. But when he laughs, it shines again. How could it be? Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? How could it be? This baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully. The Son of God, the angel said,
seventh lesson is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Our next carol is Away in a Manger, number 25.
Thank you. Our reading is from Luke 2, 8 through 16. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. This is the word of the Lord.
Our next carol is "Angels We Have Heard on High," number 23. Ninth lesson is from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. The word of God becomes flesh and lives among us, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe in him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So tell me, in one word, what does Christmas Eve mean to you? In one word. Anticipation. What else? Love. What else? Joy. What else?
Miracle.
Peace.
Family.
What does Christmas Eve mean to you? Family, peace, hope, love, anticipation. When I was a little girl, of course, my thoughts were of Christmas presents under the tree, what there would be. One of my earliest memories doesn't really even have to do with the Christmas tree, but it's the next day playing with one of the toys that I had gotten. And it wasn't until I was a little bit older that I realized that this was Jesus' birthday and that we celebrated because of baby Jesus. But since that time, since I have grown older, since all of the Christmas Eve services that I have been to and all of the Christmas Eves that I have shared with my children, I've come to think of Christmas Eve as a thin place. And do you guys know what a thin place is? A thin place is a place in the world where God's realm and the human realm come together. And so even though Christmas Eve isn't really a place, is it? It's still a thin place to me because it is one of those places, one of those special, special places where you close your eyes and you feel the tingle and you know that 2,000 years ago, a baby was born that changed everything. This baby grew up to become the light of the world. This baby grew up to be baptized by his cousin John. This baby grew up to heal people, to reconcile people, to love people, to have compassion on people. This baby grew up to die. And I think that that's the irony of Christmas Eve, is that the baby that we celebrate, who is just being born, we already know the end of the story. We already know that this baby's fate lies in the hands of some troubled people. You see, power doesn't want to be disrupted, and particularly evil power. And that baby, when that baby was born, the powers of evil were shaken. I don't speak about evil too much. I mean, I'm Presbyterian. Forgiveness sakes. But the powers of evil were shaken when that baby was born. Otherwise, why would have Herod commanded that all of the children under the age of 2 be killed? Because he was afraid of losing his power. Every Christmas Eve, we should be thinking about this. But particularly this year, I think, when the balance of power was challenged, and for right now, I think the powers of evil have gotten stronger. But the light is still there. The light is still there. In this thin place we find ourselves, we see the baby Jesus. We see the shadow in his face. We hear Joseph asking, "How can this be?" And Mary as well. And we have to ask ourselves, what does this mean for us? How can we be the carrier of this light? Because while we're not the parents, we are the inheritors of this light. And there's the beauty of Christmas Eve. This is the night in which we inherit. This is the night in which we grow strong. This is the night when the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. Each one of us has this light inside of us. Each one of us has inherited this light. And it is on a night such as this that it shines the most brightly. And friends, between now and the next thin place we come to, I pray that you will feel the light inside of yourself and that you will let that light shine. That you will feel the Spirit of Christ within you. And you will share that Spirit with everyone that you meet. Now, Becky, do you mind if I tell the toilet paper story? Last week, Becky, actually it was 2 weeks ago on Sunday, Becky had the children back in the kids' room giving them a lesson. And she showed them a picture of the baby Jesus, wrapped as he is in, as we call them, bands of cloth or swaddling clothes, whatever. But Piper looked at the picture and said, "Why is the baby wrapped in toilet paper?" Because that's what it looks like. But they're bands of cloth. And there have been other years when we have laid the bands of cloth in the manger, when we have laid the bands of cloth in an empty box. But this year, I have small bands of cloth for each one of you up here on the table and markers. And I want you to write down one thing, one word, if possible, that you feel on this Christmas Eve. One word that you want to carry with you into the new year from this Christmas Eve. So I invite you to come forward. Okay. After you have written your word, the candles are right here. Please pick up a candle and take with you. Did everybody get a candle? Great. Becky reminded me of the end of the story, the other half of the story, about Piper and the wrapping the baby in the toilet paper. The next week she came in and there was a little stuffed monkey and a little sort of like a blanket. And she wrapped the monkey in the blanket and she laid the baby wrapped in the blanket in a box for a manger. If we think kids don't feel thin places too, they certainly do. Think about your word as we prepare to light the candles and as we prepare to sing Silent Night. And let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for all that you have given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the joy of his birth, for the angels who came in glory, the shepherds, the magi, Mary and Joseph. We thank you for those who came before Jesus and for all of those who came after, those who have worked together down through the years and the centuries until we are now the descendants of those. Lord, help us to take seriously our link to Jesus Christ. Help us to feel the thin place tonight on Christmas Eve as we look up into the sky. If there are any stars that we can see, or just knowing that the stars are there, remind us of the star of Bethlehem. Lord, I pray tonight especially for Sharon and Ron Carlin, and for Cheryl's friend, who are dealing with illness at this point. And I pray for everyone who is not able to be at worship, who is threatened by violence or by war, those who will wake up with no stocking tomorrow, those who are afraid for their lives. Lord, help us to be the hands and the feet and the heart of Jesus Christ in the world. And every time we think of the baby, may we see the shadow of the man who was the light of the world. Amen. Our closing hymn will be Silent Night, and I'm going to light the candle, and we will do as we usually do, light the candle, and then I'll bring it down the aisle, and you can pass it to those who are next to you, so we can begin to sing. Let us go forth to love and to serve the Lord. Let us go forth to have a Merry Christmas. Let us go forth to feel the thin place that is Christmas Eve. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you this day and forevermore. Amen.